Welcome back to Classical Guitar Insider. This is your host, Brett Williams, and this is episode 101. We're back at it. We're going to stick with it. McKenna is on the show. McKenna will be performing on February 16th with the Hawaii Symphony Orchestra in the Blaisdell Concert Hall. So that's good. I saw he was doing that, and that's something I can actually promote. I can actually be helpful to one of my guests, as opposed to them coming on and me releasing something that they want to, you know, talk about several months later. I think I'm throwing them a bone. I think we're doing good. Guess what? I turned 41 over the weekend. So that was something. Walking around. I'm doing my thing. My little brother Rory surprised me. You want to know what he did? He took me to medieval times. Not only that, but he also galvanized a group of six of my closest male friends. And of course, the ladies were welcome as well. So, you know, they brought their charming girlfriends. Some of them did. Some of them thought it was I don't know what it was. But so there were girls there. The best girls in the world were there, with the exception of, you know, who I think is just charming as all hell. But we've got MK, Nico's girlfriend. Shout out to her. And of course, my sister-in-law, Molly, my future sister-in-law, Molly Earhart, who's been taking care of her big brother so well while he's in his time of need. Just, you know, just being a sweetheart, really being nice, you know, while I sit there and sometimes make mildly sexist comments because I'm in a strange place emotionally. But medieval times, yeah, I got knighted. They gave me the treatment, like everything a child dreams of, we can afford to do now. Well, not we, but my friends can. Pretty soon me, because the other thing that I did was we started bartending. Taqueria Diana opened up, which is my friend Matt's restaurant right next to the Knitting Factory. It's got a huge bar in the back. And guess who's behind the bar Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? I am. That's right. I've been training all month. And now we have opened. And I am I'm there. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing with my weekend nights for the foreseeable future. And I don't think that I could be doing anything better, because that's what we do anyway. I hang out with these guys anyway. So it doesn't even feel like work. You know, it does. Honestly, it feels like a lot of work. It's very physical. And I'm just not looking forward to that time when I have to like deal with drunk people. Really drunk, stupid. I mean, well, that's not true, because we had the friends and family, and there were some people that were causing shit, you know? But that's what I'm doing. So a little bit of extra scratch that way. I also finished a song, because that's what you do when when you're going through something like this. You're able to produce emotionally. You're running from yourself, and if you don't run straight into the arms of drugs and alcohol, you've only got one choice, and that's to get off your ass and start doing something with your life. So, I think, I don't know. I wrote a song in a week for solo guitar. I'm very proud of it. I think it's good. It's just pretty. Just a pretty song. It's just a pretty song. But the show is sponsored by SavageClassical.com. That's SAVAGE Classical.com. You can go there for all your guitar needs. All right? Not only is he the sausage king of Long Island, he's also the purveyor of the finest instruments on the Eastern Seaboard. That's Richard Sage at SavageClassical.com. Make sure you tell him that Big Diaper Brett sent you. And of course, we're sponsored by Classical Guitar Corner. And Simon Powis is there to give you the guitar lesson of your dreams. You can do whatever you want. You don't have to, why go to some stinky apartment? You know, guitarists, like a lot of us are, you know, vegetarian, or we try to eat healthy, so we cook with a lot of garlic. And you know, you go to their stinky apartment, it's got their smells to it, and, you know, their old, you know, music teacher clothes are just gross. You don't want to do it. No more person to person less. You're sitting there looking like an artist with his yellow teeth and his, you know, fucking coffee everywhere. You don't want to take lessons in person. It's disgusting. You need to go to classicalguitarcorner.com, where you're going to get lessons from a person without stained teeth and a great long face, and one of the best guitarists in the world is available to you on the internet. And you can sit there, and Simon has expressed to me that whatever's going on below the camera, that's from the waist down, is up to you. You understand? Whatever you want to do down there, that's your business. But as long as the top half of you is engaged, listening, and focused on becoming a better musician, Simon Powis has what you need. Just make sure that that camera is focused on your face and your guitar, and pay attention to what he has to say. But if you want to take tap dancing lessons down low, you can do that. You could do whatever you want. Simon don't care. You know who else doesn't care? AudibleTrial.com cares. Audible does not. Audible.com is a porn site. You don't want to go there. AudibleTrial.com is where you go. AudibleTrial.com/insider is where you go. Please go. Just try it. Just give it a shot. It's not a big deal. It's not that hard. Make sure you become a member, for crying out loud, if you're listening. It's $5 a month, which is the price. Yeah, it's, I guess that's it. You know what that is? That's the price of what we charge for fries. We're thinking about... Just fuck it with you, Matt, but it's $5 fries. But that's the thing. Just upping it a little bit, you know? So for the price of French fries these days, you can sponsor my show. You know, you'll have direct access to me. So you go to BrettWilliamsMusic.com, you go to the podcast page, you go to the right. You go to any subpage, you'll find it. Just, you know, use your brain, keep on clicking away there. And before you know it, you go to the right and it says, become a member. And for $5 a month, you can help me out. All right? That's what's going on. Everything else is pretty good. I've got a great roommate, Nick. He's an artist. I think we talked about him last time. He's incredibly just fun to talk to, smart dude. He's not here during the day. And then on the weekends, he's usually painting. He's a painter, so we both have that. We both have that sort of temperament, and we both are very clean because, as I've said before, we both have that thing that an artist has where he can't control what's going on around him. So he makes sure that, you know, the things that he can control, like whether or not the toilet is clean or whether or not the, you know, everything's in its place, those things... We focus in on those things, we hone in on. So we both have that thing going for us. And we have not had any run-ins. I've not had a single issue with anything he's done. I can't say the same for him, but it seems like he's okay. Except I did cook something. I've been cooking a lot. And just because I didn't want to get that depressed feeling that you get when you've been eating out all the time. And I don't know. The deli guys were ripping the walls out the deli and still making sandwiches the other day. And I thought that was pretty gross. So I'm going to give those guys time to catch up, and maybe I'll go in there. I don't know. It completely grossed me out. I've been going to that deli for 2 years, and I go in there and literally there's like, we're not talking like construction. We're just talking like stuff hanging, you know, this is New York. We're talking about asbestos, all that crap. And they're still, you know, you want tomatoes on that? Gross, dude. Gross, guys. I know you got a bottom line to protect, and I know rent's high, but be a little more responsible, for crying out loud. They didn't even cover it up. You know, just put like some, what's that stuff? Put like a curtain there or something. Anyway, let's get on the show. Hawaiian guitarist Makana is on the show. And we had a great conversation at the Elnora Guitar Festival, which of course sponsors this episode as well as future episodes. The Elnora Guitar Festival is at the Cranston Center for the Performing Arts in Champaign, Urbana. All right, so that's the read for them. But let's get on with the show. Here is my time with Makana.
Yeah. Every time I come to the mainland, I get allergies.
Is that true?
We don't have seasons in Hawaii. So.
You don't, right? So the pollen, because pollen is like, I guess, like a, it's just.
Well, we have pollen, but I mean, pollen. You know, I'm used to the stuff in Hawaii. The flowers there, are strange.
No, well, we would say you. That's why we call you guys exotic flowers. But that's not. They're strange. Why are they strange? They're small, too small.
They don't smell as nice, and they're weird looking. But
and they don't look like they're going to eat you. So it's. I like Hawaii a lot. I've been once. I had a good time. But
it's hard to leave.
It is.
But we're glad that you do.
No, Makala is a name. Makana.
Makana.
Makana, not Makala. I'm thinking about the. What does that word mean?
Makana or Makala?
No. Makana is your name.
Yes, it is.
But it's your stage. It's not your stage name, but is it like a spiritual? Is there something about
Makana
it?
Was given to me by one of my kumu. Olelo Hawaii is Hawaiian language and cultural teacher when I was like a little kid. Mm-hmm. Makana means a gift given freely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
A gift given freely. And when did you find out that that's what it meant?
I was hanging out on Maui and I ran into this kahuna and he goes, "What's your name, boy?" And I said, "Makana." He goes, "Makana? You know what makana means? A gift given freely."
Is this what happens? Is this what
I think he was trying to get me to. He was trying to get me to play his baby luau party for free or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, but that's the way people. They're always. There's like a spiritual element to every exchange.
Oh, I mean, there really is in every exchange. It's just whether or not people recognize it or not. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's true enough. Do you have a? Is there like? Are you religious at
no,
all?
No, I'm not religious except about my music.
Yeah.
But no, I'm deeply spiritual. I mean, I just don't see a separation.
Of yeah.
Spirituality from the physical realm.
Yeah, for sure. And as far as for sure, listen to me. Yeah, for sure.
You're listening to Valley Girls Broadcasting.
Yeah, for sure. I feel the same way about my spirituality. And as far as being you've lived there. You were born and raised
there,
and
you've
not left. You still live there.
Yeah, I've traveled a lot, but I've always resided in Hawaii.
You know, the way that you play is a hybrid. It's not straight ahead. It doesn't sound like super old school slack key guitar.
Well, I do play the very, very old school. I'm like a repository for all of that.
And that knowledge. Started when you were young?
Yeah.
When you became the Makana?
Yeah, I mean, I started out actually as the Kihualu kid. Kihualu meaning slack key guitar.
Oh, yeah?
And started very young and learned many of the different family styles. I mean, slack key guitar originated in the 1800s, probably in the hands of a few different people on Maui and Hawaii Island. Yeah. If you could imagine the vaqueros who came there to help the Hawaiians with the cattle problem.
Yeah.
They brought their guitars, and late at night by the campfire, they might be exchanging licks or showing the Hawaiians and sitting around playing. And you know, from my understanding, which is not the common knowledge, which is basically the story goes, oh, you know, the vaqueros left the guitars and forgot to tell the Hawaiians how to tune them.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, but yeah, that's not true.
That's not what happened. Because, you know, like Hawaiians have G tuning, which is taro patch. And then
which comes from somewhere.
Comes from Spain. Spain yeah. was already using that.
Oh, okay.
So
it's called taro patch.
Yeah, the Hawaiians call that taro patch, which would be oh no.
Go for it.
Tuning.
Yeah.
But then Hawaiians started to create their own tunings. Like here's a C6 tuning, you know?
Yeah, like that's yeah.
Now you immediately think Hawaiian.
So having that six, yeah, that really opens things up. That creates that's a pretty extended harmony.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There's a deep association with Hawaiian music. I mean, there are certain markers that make something sound Hawaiian per se, cultural markers, melodic things. But anyway, so slack key started to evolve in the hands of a few players, and what they did was they found a way to accompany themselves by doing an alternating bass line, rhythm, and melody, something kind of like this. Like, and then over that, like. Then you do them at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's beautiful. And as far as like, you know, your, I mean, what, so you do think that that's what we do associate with Hawaiian is, You said most of them do G tuning? Just tune to a G?
No, so Hawaiian music has, I mean, you know, just to go, I was just talking to a friend last night about this, because we went to
Because also that six, I can see how just, you know, you think about the six, that's a very, it actually opens, it extends the harmony beyond the fifth and allows for more room between the, you know, the root and the six,
yes.
Just chord-wise.
Well, that brings up another, so there's two things I want to share on that note.
Open, like Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. So slack key is like yoga for the guitar. I mean, it really opens up the guitar. But the thing about slack key is, as you could hear, is
yoga for the guitar.
Most of the, you know, what difference between like, you know, a classical where you might have a walking bass line and you're doing a melody. Somebody might say, well, what's the difference? You know, walking jazz, you know, there are many styles that have bass melody. The difference is that most of what's happening fret-wise is on the high strings. Mm-hmm. Here's a very traditional...
So it's just a drone.
Yeah, like, check this out. Like, this is just a verse, but... I'm only playing in the two high strings,
right.
But all of that resonance. So slack key is almost an antithetical philosophical approach of touch the strings less.
Yeah.
Let more of them ring. And that's where the tunings come in. I mean, Gabby, and who was a great Hawaiian slack key legend, had over 100 tunings. I use over 100 tunings now. And you can create...
100 tunings.
But here's where things get really interesting with guitar. It's like...
What is that thing on your guitar? What is that?
Oh,
under
that,
the fifth and sixth strings, there's a large...
I have a double pickup system that... Rather than mounting my pickup perpendicular to the strings in the sound hole, I mount a secondary pickup, sound hole pickup, parallel to the string, just the bass strings, and run that into the subs. So you haven't... I'll do that tomorrow, but that's...
You didn't do it last night?
No. No, it was just plug and play last night, but that's how I run my setup, so it sounds gigantic.
So what does that do? Does it just make it where it picks up more
of the
different...
It only picks up the bass, and I'm running the guitar acoustic pickup under the saddle.
Oh, so you've actually... I'm looking at your saddle, and it's broken in two, but...
See?
Oh, okay.
I got two lines.
You've got two outs.
Yeah.
And one out is for something that's going underneath the first three strings...
Yeah.
So what do you have?
I have a full six string piezo pickup under the saddle.
Right.
And then I have a secondary pickup mounted parallel under the bass strings in the sound hole that runs into a DI that I EQ and do a low pass on and then send it through a crossover to the subwoofers.
Oh, wow.
So it sounds really, it's a massive sound. I balance that out. So I have a lot of torque on the bass strings.
But the sub is only getting from the pickup that's doing the bass. It's
yes,
not getting
correct.
Any of the treble pickup.
No.
Oh, how interesting.
It sounds really fun. It's really, really big. In
is
fact,
that your
I
development?
For, yeah. And I opened for Joe Walsh last year on tour. And they had, you know, hung 90 speakers and had like 18 massive subs. And when I would hit the bass string, the whole arena would shake. I mean, it's just nice to have that kind of torque.
Oh, my gosh. And when you say torque, what do you mean by that?
Well, like, the difference between hitting...
Because I don't know cars either.
I like how you said either. Right. So the difference of hitting this string when I'm amped up versus this, I mean, you can't even compare the amount of power that comes through the low string.
Right.
It's like 20 times, 30 times.
Well, I think it's a very interesting thing what you're saying, because this is what you said last night. I'm assuming this is what you do in your long form shows. There's an educational element to what you're doing. I told you Ian O'Sullivan was somebody that you know of, or you maybe have met once or twice, who's the only other Hawaiian guitarist that's been on the show. But with him, he also prides himself on educating the audience about what this is, where it comes from, the story about the caballeros.
The vaqueros.
Vaqueros, which is...
Cowboys.
Cowboys.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, if you look back at the LPs, right, from the 1960s, they already were referring to slack key as a dying art form, those 50-something
years ago. So you feel like, as a slack key guitarist, that it's your... It's slack key?
It's slack
key. Slack key, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's I knew that. But I forgot it within 15 minutes.
No problem.
Getting to know what that means, you know, the fact that what slack key is, you know, that it's tuning.
Imagine if there were only...
But you feel
10,
a real
if
need
there are only
to,
10 classical guitar players alive.
And that's how it feels, right? Is this
well,
what's going
I mean,
on?
That's there are only a very few, a very small handful of you know, actual Hawaiian slacky guitar.
How is it passed on? Is it passed on almost verbally? In other words, like improvisationally?
It's just sitting like this. And like when I learned from the master, Sonny Chillingworth, I was 13. Mm-hmm. We had a grant from the State Foundation on Culture and the Arts. And he would sit there and you know, play a little bit. And then I would copy him. And it just was just like that, just sitting
Would you
there.
Talk about whole steps or half steps? Would you talk about that stuff at all? Or
no.
You would just literally just almost finger forms?
No, it was all visual. There were no, I mean, Hawaiian, in the olden days, I mean, there were not even like 1-3-5. It was like, you know, what key, bro? C. Okay. And then what? Second C. And then what chord? Third C. That was it.
Third C. So all the chords were just named C?
Well, if you're in C. Yeah.
Second C. So second fret.
Everything, no, second C second would position. Be four chord.
You got yeah. me. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's fine.
So like F and C and third C would be G. But yeah, I mean, you know, it was backyard, you know, up
no,
in the mountains.
Dude, I was in Nashville. My buddy is the fiddle player at the Grand Ole Opry, my college roommate and old best friend, Eamon. And we were, he let me go home with one of the charts that they use. And it's this language. There's no notes, and it's not a chord chart per se, with the exception of like the bars are there. But they basically are. It's almost like old lute tablature, where it's like slash chords with four above five, going to back, and then it's a whole. It's their own. It's a Nashville chart system, and in the back of the Grand Ole Opry, they have a poster that it explains it, and I think it's the beginning of the backstage tour. Is what they talk about.
Beautiful.
And I can't decipher it. I've already forgotten how to do it. But so that's like country has its own thing going on. Like pop country has its own language that is not like a jazz chart. Like that's what I thought they were doing. I thought they were just like jazz charts. But they've got to do so much. At the Opry, they have to do so much switching because they have to match the singers. So they have to switch the key of things so often
right.
that it's just all numbers. There's no letters. You know, and it's got to be done on the spot, too.
Right. Those guys were fast.
Yeah.
Well, in Hawaiian, everything was by ear.
By ear. So no written communication whatsoever.
No. I mean, in fact, before the missionaries arrived, there was no written anything.
When did the missionaries arrive?
1820.
Okay.
And prior to the missionaries arriving.
So like California style.
Prior to the missionaries arriving, we didn't have melody in Hawaii like we think of melody. Everything was microtones or semitones and chant.
Yeah.
And then missionaries came. And if you read the missionary logs from like the mid 1820s, they're saying, oh, Hawaiians are, you know, tone deaf and they can't sing on key and stuff. And then eventually in about 10 years or so, the logs change and Hawaiians become masters of harmony.
According to the missionaries?
Logs. And then in the mid 1800s, you see glee clubs popping up with the upper class, the elite class, the chief class, the royalty, and singing becomes like the national sport. And that's when the Victorian influence came in, and then like King Kalakaua brought in a bandmaster from Prussia, Henry Berger.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so funny how Hawaiian music evolved, because you look at the Hawaiian national anthem, Hawaii Pono'i, is a Prussian melody. It's like, Hawaii Pono'i, na na I
komo'i,
kalani'ali'i. So it's, anyway, we call that traditional Hawaiian.
But it's Prussian, you know, battle anthem.
Exactly. So all of these different influences. And then, of course, the plantations, right, with the advent of export eggs, sugar, pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have the Portuguese, you have the Asian population, Koreans, Japanese, Chinese. You have Europeans, Germans coming. You have the Polynesians from South Pacific coming.
Yeah.
All of their musical influences. And then Joseph K. Kuku invents the slide.
Yeah.
In
Boom.
Hawaii. Boom.
When did that happen?
In the late 1800s, turn of the century.
Invents the slide. Yeah.
Invents the slide. The slide is from Hawaii.
It's not from the U.S. South.
No. No.
Continental
they pick
South.
That up in vaudeville when the Hawaiians go touring.
Okay. So you're saying that this is, I'm believing you. I'm with you.
No, I mean.
I don't know. I have never researched it. I swear
yes.
to God, I'm not coming into this with any knowledge whatsoever. I just always assumed that it was like, you know, just like. In Crossroads or something, where somebody breaks a beer bottle and they start...
That happened in Hawaii.
But it happened in Hawaii.
That beer bottle got broken in Hawaii. It was actually a piece of metal. But so that went in the vaudeville circuit along with the ukulele, along with... That's where you saw in the early 1900s this
vaudeville.
Explosion of
yeah.
everything Hawaiian. Hawaiian swing jazz, hapa haole music. So in the 1916 through early 1920s, biggest selling genre music in the world, Hawaiian swing jazz.
Wow.
Great Depression happens. What song is the song that reignites music sales? Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower, Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of this came, the first electric guitar was built by Hawaiian working for Fender. So Hawaiians had great contributions.
What's that? What do you mean?
You got to look all this
you
up.
You mean Larry Fender? Is that his name?
What's
his
name? I can't remember his first name.
A native Hawaiian built
the first electric guitar.
Oh my gosh. Oh, he was the builder.
The builder, the actual builder.
But where does that, what is that? What's the obsession with guitar? Do you think it's like not access to other instruments?
Not just guitar. So let me give you another example. The ingenuity of Hawaiians is when was it? Late 1800s or early 1900s. So Hawaiians got real, what we call ma'a, familiar with cow punch, with the art of what Hawaiians call paniolo, the cowboy, which is the roots of slack key, right? As we were talking about. So they go off, Ikua Purdy and Archie Kaua go off to Wyoming. I think it was 1916 for the rodeo, world champion rodeo. They get there, they're brown skin. You know, racism is still big. Yeah. So these guys got, screw these guys. We're going to give them wild bucking horses that have never been broken in the day before the rodeo. They end up taking first and second place in the world championships. So it's not just guitar. It's just like Hawaiians had a knack for adapting other cultural practices to their own and making it their own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Duke Ahanamoku, you know, the world champion Olympic swimmer, and then who brought surfing to the world. I mean, you know, it goes on and on and on.
Right.
It's just, I think, because of Hollywood, the bastardization of the culture, along with the missionary suppressing the culture. I mean, they outlawed hula, and the language was outlawed. I mean, if you were a Hawaiian kid growing up in mid-century, and you went to school and you spoke Hawaiian, the teacher would whack you over the head and tell you, don't speak Hawaiian, boy. Speak English. And then you go home to Nanakuli, like Uncle Raven Kane, my first master of Slacky. He goes home and then he starts speaking English and his dad slaps him on the head. Hey boy, olelo Hawaii, kiyo manawa. And he said, after that, I just put my stuff on a stick in a bag and went and leave it at the beach. I couldn't deal with both of these crazy people.
Yeah, so it's this culture of people that were suppressed.
Totally. Total oppression. So slack key guitar is one of the few cultural practices that wasn't popularized until very late because people hid it. I'll give you an example. Like, if you were a dad who, like, got off the ranch and you're sitting there drinking your okole hau, which is like swipe, right?
What's swipe?
Like fermented fruit liquor, like just, really stank, gnarly,
bathtub,
hardcore. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh,
moonshine,
God.
Hawaiian moonshine. So
I bet it smells.
Oh,
it
smells bad.
It smells like feet.
Pretty much.
Gross.
So you're sitting there drinking that, and you're playing slack key, and your son comes out. You might detune the guitar and put it away and give your son stink eye. Because it was your music. Yeah. So slack key was almost lost, and that's why until Gabby and them started recording it, my teacher, Sonny, you know. So that's why, like, there's such a mythology around Hawaii and this whole, like, romanticized Hollywood thing. But Hawaii is actually a really creative center.
A really creative center. It's not just, it is the idea being that they were, like savages.
Savages. Yeah,
savages.
It's ridiculous.
We came in there and we fought. And right. I'm like, I don't know how much real, like, what were you fighting for, sugar?
Well, what they brought was, they being, you know, the whaling ships and the missionaries and the traders and all them, was pretty much
Was it Drake?
Syphilis
was it Sir Francis Drake?
Was a wonderful
Cook.
Gift
Cook.
Of them.
Cook.
Oh, yeah, Cook.
Cook was
right.
the guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, they thought he was Lono, the god of fertility and agriculture. So they worshipped him until they realized he wasn't a god, and then they killed him.
They killed Cook?
Yeah. At Keala Kikua Bay in Kona.
Well, that's what happens, dude.
That's what happens. You pretend to be a god.
Don't walk around being a god.
Don't walk around trying to
C-3PO knew not to do that.
Remember that? I love that.
He was like, I can't do it. And Princess Leia made him do it. Bad news. It's going to end badly for C-3PO. I feel it.
I don't know if it's ever going to end for any of them. It's too big of a franchise.
Star Wars 20. Oh, God. Attack of the Drips. But as far as what else is going on? Did you ever study outside of Hawaii or whatever? I mean, you don't like, you do incorporate
there's
some pentatonic elements going on there.
So I'm dedicated to keeping Slack Key alive. I play a lot of different family styles, but
you're also a guitarist.
But I also do my own thing. Yeah. So I mean, my other influences go ranging from a lot of different world musics, cultural musics. Celtic was an early exploration out of the tradition of Hawaii.
And Celtic, I mean, what is your
like Dick Goggin, Bert right. Yance, you know, guys like that. I've Scottish guy, you know, what's his name? The Westland Winds and all those guys. Jimmy Page is my favorite guitar player. But I'm a melody.
Sorry, he's an open guy. He's an open tuning.
He does open tuning. Yeah.
All his big solos.
I'm a melody guy. I mean, I just love melody. I don't like too many notes. I love melody. I think melody is really important in terms of how humans, you know, absorb music. And so, like, you know, I admire people like David Gilmour, how he creates his solos. You know, he sings them.
And yeah, yeah.
When
yeah.
I work with the guitar, I mean, I really have not listened to a lot of guitar music in my life. I listen to, like, everything but. Mm-hmm. My favorite living musician is Andreas Vollenweider.
Now, who is Andreas Vollenweider?
The Swiss harpist.
Are you Swiss? Because I looked up your real
last
name.
Yeah, I'm...
Not your real last name, but your given last name.
Yeah, Polish, English, French, mm-hmm. Irish, Norwegian...
Yeah, it seems like a Norwegian.
Chinese,
yeah, right.
And Native American.
There you go, yeah. A man of the world.
A man of promiscuous ancestors. I mean, everyone in Hawaii has...
But you're married. Like, are you married?
Just to the guitar. No worries. My ex-girlfriend was Hawaiian, Tahitian, Chinese, Japanese, Puerto Rican, French, Canadian, Scottish.
I mean, you guys would have made this
We are the world. I mean, what was it? Her first name was Kili Kahanui Kamalu Wakalani Makumbar.
Oh, Macumber, that boy.
Yeah, because like some Scottish guy like traded his daughter for like a pier in Nanakuli or something.
Like for lumber. My lumber, Macumber. Well, that's pretty serious. As far as what you said, your dad, was it, oh man.
See, well, my mom was.
Let me be honest with you.
My mom was Miss Waikiki and Miss Hawaii International. Oh, she's from Hawaii.
So she was a Miss America? She was
Miss Hawaii International.
Miss Hawaii International.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What's that?
It was a pageant.
A pageant, like a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
Your mother was a beauty, a Hawaiian beauty.
She's a beauty queen.
And your dad?
And also, what? Her claim to fame was she was Hawaii's first female liquor sales distributor.
What is... Does she got a plaque for that?
I mean, she just was the first one. You know, back then it was a big deal.
How did she know that? That can't be true.
It was true. Back then it was a man's world.
It's still. I can imagine. Was she tough?
Oh, no. Things are changing.
Wait, so the most beautiful woman in Hawaii was also the first liquor distributor because...
No, the first female liquor distributor.
The first female liquor distributor. And what blows me away about that is that, you know, you think about... A liquor distributor. It almost seems like a dispatch girl. Just like
she's
sitting there,
the one who went up to
all
the
right.
club or the
go
bar.
Go through.
Brought, no, she like shows up with like, you know.
Like a truck of
a
liquor.
A truckload of liquor and stocks the bar. And she said she quit that job because she'd always be climbing on the ladder and they'd be goosing her. So, you know.
Oh, was, yeah, because she's hot.
These were back, this was back in the 60s. You know, what are you going to do?
Man, I can't. No way, man. That's, Was your dad with her at that point?
My dad's from Minnesota. He was in the Air Force, mm-hmm. and he met her after he got out of the Air Force.
Uh-huh. Oh, so he's a Minnesota guy? Does he live back there?
No, he's smarter than that.
He's with you.
Can't handle the cold anymore, man. No, he's in Vegas.
Oh, yeah? Is he?
Hawaii, you know, people who live in Hawaii somehow always end up in Vegas. It's like they call it the Ninth Island. Don't ask me why.
I did not know this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ask any Hawaiian. Like, oh, what's the Ninth Island? Vegas, brah.
They love it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's all those, like, tropical drinks they got in Vegas? Like, that all makes
no,
sense?
No, they love gambling.
Gambling? Hawaiians love gambling.
Love.
Do you gamble?
No. I mean, on my career, yeah.
Yeah, we're gambling with our lives.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're going to end up dishwashers, but, you know, yeah. Money? No, we keep it. We keep it close. You never gamble? I gamble a little bit.
Sometimes. No, I'm good. You know why? Because when I was a teenager, I had a band... Mm-hmm. And my friend in the band came to me one day and says, "Bro, I need your help." I said, "Why?" He goes, "Bro, the guys, they gonna cut off my legs." I said, what?
The guys. For what? You're like, what guys?
He's like, oh, I owe Chok money, bro. From what? Oh, gambling, bro. Like, so I had to give him like 6 gigs worth of paychecks just so he wouldn't have his legs cut off.
You don't want a legless.
I was like 15 years old.
What does he play?
He was playing rhythm. That's why I got into slack key. I don't need a rhythm player anymore. I just didn't want to deal with that.
Oh, shit. I totally agree. It's like the less people I need to play a gig, the better. I made a huge mistake.
That's slack key, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So, but as far as like, you know, studying off the mainland, stuff like that, like you obviously, we were talking about some of your other influences, but we kind of, we got willingly sidetracked, which I like to call it for the first time ever. I just called it that. But we were talking about like what you were doing with the guitar other than slack key. You said you like Jimi Hendrix and stuff like that. Did you ever take lessons though? Classical lessons or anything like that?
Only from Sonny and Bobby, my first teacher, was slack key when I was a kid. But I mean, after that, you know, I really got into doing like, if you know, on YouTube, I do stuff like Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and things in slack key. My whole thing about the guitar is like, treat each string like it's an instrument. And when I go to, for instance, when I went to arrange Comfortably Numb, so I wrote down the chords and I tuned each string. What I did was I created a tuning. So this tuning. So look at, so the whole thing is work as little as possible, right?
Yeah.
This is open right here. Hello, is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear. Is there anyone? Very simple. And then to do the keyboard part while I'm pedaling the bass. Yeah. Very, very resonant. So again, the whole philosophy of touching the strings as little as possible, letting the guitar ring out, and using the tuning as a friend that becomes like a second instrument for you.
That's so cool. Yeah, and I mean, that's so. That's what did you do that on YouTube? Is that
That's on YouTube. I mean, so my philosophy with guitar is like almost antithetical to most approach. I mean. I was just telling our friend Daniel out there, you know, like there are a lot of people hit the guitar today with this tapping thing. It's become really popular and it really bugs me because there are all these microtones coming off the guitar that are not intended to be part of the music.
Right.
Like if they were intentional, that's one thing, but they're unintended and they're dissonant. And that really bothers me.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we should be mindful and the guitar is I don't see it as something to be hit. I mean, I'm a big, you know, I love Michael Hedges and a few people really get it right. But generally, my whole thing with guitar is let that puppy ring.
I mean,
that's, you know, let the luthier's work come through. I mean, and
let your music, you'll let your instrument speak. Yeah.
Let your instrument speak. And there's 1,000 ways to pick a note. And you can do things in different tunings. But when you create a tuning, and I encourage, you know, players to really... They say, well, you know, why do you use all these tunings? I mean, don't you have to relearn every time you make a new tuning? Yes, that's the whole point. I'm not trying to become a master of the guitar. I'm trying to create something listenable. And by changing the tuning, I erase muscle memory. All of a sudden, what I learned in the last tuning doesn't apply anymore. It forces me to create something new, to explore.
Yeah.
I love that. That's why I never get bored of playing guitar. It's always something new.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's really, it's outstanding. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up your Occupy situation. But what?
Be remiss.
You want me to be remiss?
No, no, it's fine.
Well, I usually don't do too much research, but I'm being paid to be here this time. So I want to do a little bit of research, and I'm glad I did, because everybody here is super interesting. Everybody at the festival. Not to say the other guests weren't interesting. You guys were great too. But you did something with a shirt in front of Obama and everybody, in front of 19 world leaders during the Occupy
era. Yeah, so back in 2011, I wrote this song after visiting Zuccotti Park.
It was Occupy Wall Street. During the Obama administration. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wrote this song called We Are the Many, and I'm like cutting a video for it on Final Cut Pro, and all of a sudden I get a call from the White House, and they invited me to perform for a world leader's dinner.
In Hawaii?
In Hawaii at the military hotel, Halekoa. And so they're inviting like 21 presidents and prime ministers mm-hmm. and their spouses, and it's like a big deal. So I'm like, okay. And then it occurs to me like that I'm writing this song, and the whole thing kind of coalesced very
You're writing a song that's
relevant,
trying to get these people to change their ways.
Yeah, I mean, and this was an economic right. Cooperative conference. It was APEC, it was the Asia Pacific Economic Cooperative. So anyway, they show up, and I'm leaving for the gig. It's high security, like 7 miles around, like Fort Knox, Marines, right. and like snipers, and I mean, it's ridiculous. They put barbed wire up on Waikiki Beach, like German shepherds walking around. Like it looked like World War II.
Yeah.
So, already the local people are like Norman. Not happy about this.
Right, right, right.
And so my friend stuffs a shirt in my guitar case. I don't even know what it was. So I get there and I like open my guitar piece.
What are you doing not checking out what your friend's stuffing into your guitar case?
Shirt says Occupy with Aloha, like Sharpie written on a white Hanes shirt. So I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I had put on the video the night before I played for the Obamas. So it started going viral. We Are the Many. And everyone started messaging me like, aren't you playing for the president? This is the perfect song. I'm like, you guys are crazy. I thought you were my friends. I can't play this. Like, I get in trouble. They want me to play like Hawaiian slack key guitar for dinner. So anyway, I get there and I go in the bathroom and they had this.
And you haven't played for the president before? You probably
no,
liked
I have.
The president.
I played the president. At the White House before.
Okay, cool.
So he had all the people from Hawaii coming up there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go
in. He's like, guys, we're in.
Yeah, I put the shirt on underneath my like suit. Yeah. And I put a button and everything.
Yeah.
And so I like, go in and I start playing. I had no idea, and my guitar tech's there, and I had no idea like what was gonna happen. I'm playing for like an hour, and like my heart's kind of racing. Like, should I do this or not? Like, I don't know. There's like Marines everywhere.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. So I like unbutton one, and then I don't like go boom, and just rip my shirt open like Superman. I don't want to think I have a bomb or something. So I just do one button.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I
that
must have
been scary. You must have been like, oh, I'm going to wait
no,
a second.
No. So one button. It took me like half an hour to get my shirt open. Yeah. But I finally open it, and the sound guy, who's like just a contractor, looks up from his magazine, and he sees Occupy with Aloha, and he like gives me this look like, what the fuck, bro? And I just look at him like, shh, like don't say anything. And he goes back to his magazine. I'm like, whew. So then I go into the song, and Budgie, my guitar tech, he like starts videotaping on his phone like very discreetly, and they let him keep his phone because he said his tuner was on his phone.
Oh,
and so
oh,
I mean, this whole
okay.
thing, yeah.
I mean, we need a tuner. They're like,
tune.
All right,
no problem.
Gosh,
so
how sloppy.
It worked. So anyway, we filmed it, and then
no, like, I mean they're sloppy. That's sloppy
yeah.
security.
Oh yeah, right. So yeah. Then anyway, I put it on the AP wire, and it just went viral, like of me singing this song. I sang it for 45 minutes.
Oh,
and the only reason why it worked because Obama was like intensely conversing with the Chinese premier and all the other prime ministers, Indonesia, South Korea, Canada, Australia, like everyone's just sitting there, Japan, watching me, thinking that Obama wanted me to sing this song to them. So they couldn't object, and the words are really heavy. You enforce your monopolies with guns while sacrificing our daughters and sons. This government is not for sale. The banks do not deserve a bail. Like heavy political
oh
stuff.
Oh my gosh! And the world leaders
the
thought they were like this son of a bitch.
Right.
He pulls us in here and makes this kid, this child. That's amazing.
No, I mean, it was like a Hans Christian Andersen moment. I mean, it was just like Emperor's New Clothes. It was, my heart was racing. I was terrified, but like I felt like it was meant to be. And anyway, it ended up inspiring millions of people. It was really
I mean,
cool.
This is amazing.
You can watch, if you want to see this on YouTube, CNN Makana. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, I sing live on CNN.
Did he?
Well, so after the gig, right?
Did he address you?
Yeah, so after the gig, like, I'm already on CNN. That's how the White House and the State Department found out.
So he didn't know. He was too busy talking to the Chinese.
That's what, but every time he would look up and shock at me or like, hey,
He
like,
would?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, every, like, few minutes he'd be over like.
You good?
Yeah.
You good?
And
okay.
I would just go into like a little instrumental at that point, or Michelle would look over and I'd go into instrumental. So, I really.
Oh, Michelle was there?
Yeah, they were all there. I mean, the whole thing. So anyway, it came on the news, and the CNN interviewer says, "So do you think you're in any kind of trouble?" And I said, "For what? Singing?" And I look right in the camera. I said, "If I'm in trouble for singing, we have major problems." And I smiled, and the guy cracked up. It's like, that was my insurance policy. So that, you know, everyone was like, "Yeah, he was just singing, you know, played for free."
Right.
Didn't even feed me.
No. They didn't feed you?
No.
When he gave you the shaka, you should have said, been like, "Mr. President, I'm so hungry. Have pity on the working man."
That's right.
Well, I mean, if there's anything else you would like to say, please say it now, because this has been a great interview.
Thank you.
I'd love to, if you ever come through New York again, we can spend some more time together. Sure.
Well, I just encourage people to explore Slack Key, SlackKey, Slack Key guitar.
Not
Slack
Key.
No, Slack Key. I'm going to slack you.
Anyway, so I really appreciate you coming by. And people will explore it. I will see you tonight. Is that correct?
Tomorrow.
Okay, you play tomorrow.
Yep.
Night, right?
Daytime, 2:15.
Okay, great.
Yep. Great. Thanks, Brett.
I'm pretty much wrong about everything.
That's okay. I like a guy who can admit it.
Oh, well, that's me. All right, guys, this is Bacana performing Slack Key number 1 off the album. I believe it's pronounced Koi Ao. I'll see you guys next time. Not too sure who I'm going to be with, but make sure you go to the website. I'm going to keep on pushing you guys to do this so that I can, maybe make a living at this one day. Go to BrettWilliamsMusic.com and become a member. It's only $5 a month. Just get the money out of your couch, borrow it from your mom. I don't know. It's $5. All right, that's what we're charging for fries. Did I already say that? All right, get down to it. $5 a month. Big deal. Please do it. Love you guys. Bye.